This podcast was created for product-based brands in their first 3 years of business who want to ditch the social media grind and learn the secrets to master their marketing so they can go from fumbling around to growing their online store with confidence and a plan. If this sounds like you, stick around. I'm your host, Christy, and this is the Startup Sisterhood Podcast. Let's get into the show. In today's episode, I'm chatting to one of my beautiful past clients, Nikki, the current business owner of Bee Bangles, a jewelry brand that designs bangles to help women live an unapologetic life. Bee Bangles is the perfect example of a brand that truly owns their difference within the marketplace. I'm excited for you to hear this episode, so let's get into it. Welcome, Nikki. Thank you so much for coming on to the Startup Sisterhood Podcast.
You're most welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, so let's start with the first question because I wanted to really understand your story and how you became the founder of Bee Bangles because it's a little bit different from the norm. So did you want to quickly walk us through that journey?
Sure. So my background is retail management, so at national level, and I did that for many years. I was made redundant a few years ago and I thought this is a good opportunity to just stop and reassess, as you do. And I thought I just want a job where I just go and do my job and go home, which I'd never had. I've always had the job where the phone's going 24/7. And so there was an ad on the local Facebook page for someone to come and pack bangles. And I thought, well, that sounds like a very low stress kind of job. And so that's how I started at Bee Bangles. I was just working casually packing bangles. I met Chantel, who was the founder of Bee, and we kind of just really connected. And so I got kind of more and more and more involved in the business. And we had a little break over COVID just to reassess. Obviously, we were all not sure what was going to happen. And when we reopened, she asked me to take over the operations of the business for her. She wanted to have a break. And so I found myself kind of running the business, essentially. She then decided that she wanted to sell the business. And so she came to me and she said, look, if you guys are interested, I'd love you to take it because, you know, B is my baby and I don't want it to go to someone who doesn't understand it. And so we started that process, and part of that process obviously was sort of drilling down, looking into the brand and deciding who is B, who are we, who's our customer. And that's obviously when we met your beautiful self. And that was the process. We handed over in July last year. So it's been just over a year since I've been running Bee on my own.
Yeah, I just think the stars aligned when you were able to come on board because, like I've said to you a couple of times, you and Chantel are like the same type of person. Like, she could not have found a better, firstly, staff member, but then secondly, to be able to take over the business. I could not think of anybody else that is more suited than you because you do live and breathe the brand.
I do, and I loved it on day one. I came home on day one and said to Davo, my partner, and he said, how was it? And I go, if that brand ever comes up for sale, we have to buy it. I just love everything about it. And he's like, you've been there 5 seconds. And I'm like, I know, but I just feel it. I feel like it's fun, but it's also serious and it's light, but it's also heavy. It just has everything that kind of just resonated with me. And when I had my interview with Chantel, she actually rang one of my referees and she said to the referee, I just think Nikki's like way overqualified to be coming and packing bangles. Like, I just don't think. And my referee said, you know what, she'll just give you 100% whatever she's doing. So just go with it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was kind of really meant to be, as obviously the journey progressed, that we were meant to be in each other's lives. So I feel very blessed that I answered the Facebook request and went for the interview on that first day.
Yeah, oh, it's just such an amazing story. So that's why I just wanted to do a little bit of a backstory because I love those success stories of how you were able to find the right person and then that person was able to take over the business. Like, that's just amazing. So, thank you for walking us through that journey because it gives the listeners a little bit of understanding on where we're heading to next. So how do you feel working on B Bangles brand strategy has helped the brand really own its difference within the market?
Well, I think it's a really good sort of next part of the story with what we were talking about, which was that Chantel wanted to step out, but the brand had very much been about her, and not just that she was the face of the brand, but also, you know, she was ahead of her time as far as marketing. Do you know what I mean? She was a little marketing genius.
She was.
But it was all in her head. And yep. She really, because it came so naturally to her, she really struggled to be able to relay that to other people. She's like, because she goes, I don't really know. It just kind of feels, I just know what to do. It's just instinctual. And it's like, well, we can't hand over instinct. So yeah,
that's right.
So that's when obviously we brought you in, and it was such revelation for all of us, because she realized that what she wanted to tell us, there was a way to put it into words and into diagrams and to make it more succinct and understandable, because I'm very right-hand, left-brain. So I'm very like step one, step two, step three. And Chantel was the other way around. I mean, she's very creative, and so trying to mesh those two things together, and what you did was help bring our two different mindsets together and put down on paper basically who B is, who our customer is, where do we sit in the market, when we're talking to our customer, what language do we use, what tone do we use, and how, I think most importantly, how to set ourselves apart from the other people that do what we do. What we do is, you know, we put words on pieces of metal. It's not, you know, it's not rocket science, but how do we stand out in a market that especially jewellery is quite saturated, and our customer, target customer base gets a lot of information from a lot of brands. So how do we stand out? And I guess that's when we started doing the work with you, that helped us to understand what our difference was, and how to make sure that we maximize that in every communication that we have with our customers, but also all in our product development and everything that we do. I still have my little sheet here, sits next to my desk, that says who our customer is and who B is, and I look at it on a daily basis. I go, I'm going to post this on Instagram. Let me just stop. Does this sit in with who we are and what we want to say? And are we making some kind of point, or, you know, is it funny enough? Is it edgy enough? And so I refer to those tools like on a daily basis whenever I'm doing anything that involves decisions about the business or communication to our customers. So it's really streamlined who we are and made it much easier for me to bring people into the business, because I have something to give them, or people that work alongside us, our digital marketing people, and I have something to give them to say, this is who we are, rather than me trying to explain it and people not getting it and us, everyone wasting a lot of time and money trying to get the message right and the tone right. I now have something to give them to help them understand who we are.
That is just so powerful. And I loved it when we were going through that process and we would all be on a Zoom call, and I would say to Chantel, I'm like, oh, maybe that's a little bit too sweary. And she's like, no, it's not. Like, we own that. And, you know, we're going to own the sweariness, and that's just who we are. I think that was in relation to your brand statement.
Yes, and
I'm trying not to swear too much on the podcast, but she came to the table with a brand statement that she was thinking. And I'm like, oh, you know, like maybe we can still have the tone of that rebel vibe, but maybe we just don't swear in the brand statement. And she's like, we are swearing in the brand statement. And oh my gosh, I loved it. And I loved her conviction and her belief, and really not swaying away from what she knew made the brand special. I hope you are enjoying this episode. We will jump straight back into it, but first I have a quick favor to ask. Since I am just getting started with this podcast, every little bit of your support goes a long way. I would love if you could spare a minute of your time after you have listened to this episode to hit the subscribe button and share your feedback in the review section. If you could do this, I would be forever grateful. Okay, let's get back into the show. And let's just touch on the fact that Bee Bangle, when we went through the process, there's all different types of brand personalities that a brand could own. Looking at Bee Bangle back in 2020, like you said, Chantel really owned it. It was really her and it was all up in her head, but visually it wasn't coming across. It did come across very much just like a jewelry brand. It was very white. It was very product focused. And we really needed to get to the point where visually it was a rebel brand, and there's all different types of brand personalities when we're looking at your brand strategy, but we decided to really go hard in on the rebel brand. And I think that was the point where we're like, right, okay, if we're going to own this, then it needs to be really visual and be able to take it out of Chantel's head and really put that all down on paper. Because if it's all stuck up in the owner's head, especially when you do go and start to hire people, or maybe you're outsourcing to a social media person, if you're not crystal clear on what you want your brand to be and really own that difference within the marketplace, when you go to outsource, it becomes so much harder and it can be diluted. Your essence, your secret sauce can be diluted if that person is not really 100% across the essence of the brand. So I think that's really how, when I talk about owning your brand's difference, I feel like a lot of brands know what their brand difference is, but they don't own it. And I feel like Bee Bangle, even when we're talking about Chantel, when she first started the business, was it 2016 she started?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Even back then when she started the business, like she was owning it. It was the message across all of her platforms. And that's the real difference between just kind of doing a little bit of brand strategy and ticking the boxes because you've been told that it's important to do, but then brands aren't really making sure that the message and that difference is all across their marketing platforms. And that's really what this episode is about, being able to own your difference. And that's why I wanted to bring you on to the podcast, because Bee Bangles does that so well. And it is across every single marketing platform, so that no matter where you're showing up, be that a new product or be that a social media post or updating your homepage, it's always the core of all of your choices. And I've always said that brand strategy drives all of your marketing. So you are the perfect example of a brand that really owns their difference and not just know their difference.
And I think what a really important part of that is that, and you'll have a lot of people who watch your listen to your podcast and see you on social media, is, and they're, you know, solo entrepreneurs, you know, and that if you really want to grow your business and you really want to be able to sell it at some point or step away, or that has to be, it can't be in your head anymore, because that's no good to anyone. Like, no one's going to buy your business if you can't explain to them what that business is, or they'll buy and they'll fail. So having that, even when you work on your own, is key, because you then have that to go back to, but also that whenever you want to do anything, you have something to give people to understand who you are. And I think sometimes when you get caught up in the running of a business, you kind of forget your brand stuff, because you've got to post on Instagram and now everyone wants reels and now it's going to be video and you la, la, la. And just to pull you back and go, okay, just remember, this is who we are. And I think when Chantel started Bee, you know, she was all about the swear. That was the thing. You know, we were kind of very edgy. And there's a lot of that in the marketplace now. But when Bee started, that was quite confronting for people to, you know, see and hear some of those words. And, you know, who would have thought that someone would want to walk around with them written on their arm? But apparently they do. So luckily for us. And the secret about Bee, I guess, is that we're the secret rebel. Do you know what I mean? We're a very rebellious brand and that's what we do. But if you buy our bangle, you can't see the words. Really, only you know you've got that word on you. So it's that kind of closet rebel that we speak to, you know, the people who maybe want to step out a bit more but can't for whatever reason, but this gives them a way to be a little bit of a rebel in their life. So, and I guess that's our niche in the market, and that's they're the people that we talk to every day.
Yeah, and like just touching on the niching side of things, like at the end of the day, you are a jewelry brand, but the way you've been able to stand out is to own a particular part of the market. You're not everybody's cup of tea. And I've always said that the best brands polarize. So, you know, there are people that aren't going to like those type of bangles, and that's okay. Because I remember you mentioning about how you introduced a new bangle and you lost like 200 followers. Yep. And I remember you messaging me going, I lost 200 followers and I'm so happy because now they are not part of my niche. And it just goes to show that you're owning it, and that's okay. Like, it's okay to niche down and not be everybody's cup of tea, because that famous saying of when you speak to everybody, you're speaking to nobody. And I just love how B Bangle sticks in their lane, and it doesn't matter who wants to complain about something being too sweary or whatnot. People want to leave, then people can leave. The fact that you can own your difference, even when there's people saying, oh, I don't like that, or that's a little bit sweary, but you keep on moving and you keep staying true to who you want the brand to be, which is hard to do at times.
Yeah, sure. And we get lots of complaints, probably not as many now because I think it's kind of filtered out, but it still happens. And there's certain words that, you know, we use in our posts, and it's not words that I use that often, but I know when I post something with that word in it, that we will lose 40 followers within an hour.
Yeah.
But it'll also be one of our most engaged posts of the week, yes, or the month. So that, yes, you have to balance those things out. And there's a big part of our brand that's not sweary. There's a big part of our brand that's inspirational. And, you know, one of our best selling bangles is one that I introduced a while ago, and it says, the sky looks different when you have someone you love up there. And that's one of our best-selling bangles, right? Nothing sweary or edgy about that. But people love it because it's the thing that you give someone when they've lost someone, and you just go, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to give you. How many more flowers can someone need? But that's, yeah, the bangle that resonates, that says the message. And so, you know, there are many elements to our brand, but it's certainly the sweariness is what we're known for. And that's what gets us the engagement and the following, is that people are like, these girls aren't scared to say what they think. Yes. And that's a nice thing to be part of, something where people are so engaged, because our community is so engaged in what we do. And, you know, unfortunately, obviously early in the year, we lost Chantel. And the outpouring from the community, because people felt like they knew her because they were so engaged with our brand. And so it's a real privilege to lead a community that's that engaged. But it's also, you know, it's a lot of pressure to make sure that we stay true to who we are. And that's why all that brand stuff helps keep us on track, to make sure that we are also giving our community what they want, because, you know, part of it is not just selling bangles. Part of it is making people feel like they belong to something. They really care about the brand and about B, and we care about them. You know, they send us messages about their life stories and their problems and how bangles have changed their life, or given one to someone that's changed them. And so it means a lot. You know, we don't take this stuff lightly. It's we have a responsibility.
It goes beyond a product. It goes beyond a piece of jewelry. It really brings people together. And I think Chantel shared a lot of her life initially. When she did pass away, it was like losing a close friend, even with people that have never met her before. Mm. But she just had a way of really being raw and vulnerable and showing up and just sharing the nitty gritty. And that's what people loved. And you don't have to build a connection via you. That's only one way to do that. Another way is through values, which I also feel that B does really, really well. So how important do you feel it is to understand your ideal market?
I think it's key, because so much of what we do now is marketing, and really like an ad lib business at the level of ours, you know, we have to pay to play, you know, like we post every day and do all those things, but really social media has become a business and we spend money in that business. And we use an expert team to do that. We don't do that ourselves. But
shout out to the Digital Picnic.
Shout out to the Digital Picnic. Oh my goodness gracious me. Yes. All my heart. I'm the best.
Yeah.
And they obviously, you know, they care about the brand as much as I do. That's what I love about them. But we need to talk to the right people at the right time. And so they need to understand who those people are so we can target whatever money we spend to the right people. And if you don't know who your customer is, you're basically just throwing money out and hoping that it hits someone. And you just can't afford to do that. No small business can afford to do that. It's just, it's bad business. And so you need to know who your customer is. And when we develop a new product, we go, okay, who is this for? So we've just developed the minis, which are here, little mini bangles. So that was about our customer is 30 to 50, but they often want to buy them for their kids and teenagers. And so there's lots of requests for necklaces and rings, which we didn't have in our business. And we looked at lots of samples and went, we thought, who is our customer? What does she like about our product? And so we thought, why don't we just make our product smaller? Which, you know what I mean? Like, not that complicated, but took us a while to get there. but these have been great because people are buying them for their kids and so this will be great for us for Christmas. So, but it still sits in our brand. We know who our customer is and the people buying these are still the same customer, but she's buying them for someone else. So we had to think about her and who does she buy for and what kind of product would she want to give someone who's younger than her, let's say. And so, again, that comes back to who is our customer, what does she want, what's her lifestyle, who's in her life, if she's gifting, who is she gifting to and on what occasion. And we wouldn't be able to do any of that if we hadn't done all the brand work. We would have no idea. We would just be making it up and wasting a lot of time and money on advertising and on products that weren't going to sell.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that, look, I feel like when most people start their businesses, it is very much them. They are their ideal person, but there can be a catch and a negative to thinking that you're your ideal person because at the end of the day, you're a sample of one, right? And although you might think that that's a fantastic product and although you might be your ideal person, go out and ask your customers.
Product development is expensive. So, you do have to think about, you know, we go and do markets, which we don't need to do. We're kind of past the point in our business where we need to go and stand in the market because our e-commerce is so strong, but we still go and do it because the best, we get to meet our customers. They love to meet us face to face, but we get the best feedback.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Are you doing this color? My husband, it's like we did started doing cuffs because everyone's like, well, my husband wants a cuff or a lot of women prefer a cuff to a bangle. All that feedback came from going and standing in a market all day. The best feedback that you can get.
It is.
And that's one-on-one people asking you for something that you don't do or you can test it and go, what do you think about this? You know, this is what we're going to do next. What do you think? And that's what we did with the minis. We went to a market and we just had them there as samples and people were like, oh, my God, I love these. And they're like, do you have one that fits it as a ring? And I'm like, no, but we're going to. So, yes. You know, all of those, that stuff comes from our customers. So
yes.
I think it's easy to get trapped in that I'm the expert because I have a successful business. But, you know, that you're only an expert in what's in your little world and there's a whole lot of other people out there with good ideas that can help you grow your business, you know, and they're thrilled to be part of the process. So,
yeah. And it's listening to the market, you know, you might start with the idea of, oh, this has got legs, but yeah, go to markets, go and reach out into Facebook groups or ask your people in Instagram stories or send out a survey because you don't want to just be making products without really doing that sound check. And your brand strategy will really help you guide you in the direction that you need to go when it comes to bringing out something new. But it's always best to listen to the market and produce or stock stuff that you feel is going to really resonate with your audience. So yeah, that's why I wanted to ask that question, because brand strategy, a part of that is definitely your target market, and you just nail it every single time. When it comes to a new bangle, you just kill it, because you've done the research, you've spoken to the people, you've done the markets.
We test everything. It's one of the best lessons Chantel gave me, was whenever you're going to do something, test it small. So if we have a quote that we love that we think for a bangle, we put it on our Instagram just as a quote, and see what the engagement's like. And if people love it, then we know, okay, this might be something that people will want to wear. And if they don't love it, we go, okay, well, maybe we need to reword it, or maybe the tone of that's not right. Or so everything we do, we test, and test little. And then if it works, great. And if it doesn't, we haven't lost much time or much money. And that's probably the best piece of advice that Chantel gave me, because it's easy to get caught into shiny new product syndrome. but we're very careful about anything we do that's new. So, yeah, that would be the best advice I could give anyone. Don't be scared to try things, but test small, and make sure that your customer actually wants that.
Yeah, yeah. Love it. Okay, so to wrap up this little conversation that we've been having, last question is, what is next for Bee Bangle going into 2023? Can't believe I just said that. I can't believe it's almost Christmas.
I know. Well, this time of year we're all about getting ready for Christmas. So our wholesalers have all done all their orders. That's all gone through. And so now we're going to focus on gifting. And one of the things that we developed when we were with you actually was about gift packs and stuff, because we know how many of our products get given as gifts, and to make that easier for people. So we've got quite a few gift packs coming up for Christmas, that have like little handbags and lots of little cute little things in there. And doing packaging. So all of our, these are the minis, come in the little cute little beautiful ring boxes, and then there's a bigger box for the bigger bangles. So giving people that complete gift option, and then our newest thing, sneak peek for you.
Oh, I get to see them. I can see
we've done these handmade wooden boxes.
Yes.
So they all flip out, and your bangles in there, and there's a little hole at the front, so you can see what's written on all your bangles.
Stop.
At the front.
My gosh. If you could see what I could see now, it is so good. That is amazing, Nikki. I love that. So it's like a little storage.
Yeah, like a little
jewelry stand.
Yeah, like just a really special way to keep your bee bangles. And yes, we've had them handmade. They'll be limited edition only because the guy who made them for me said, I never want to do that ever again. So they automatically they're limited edition then. So, but you know, it's about people coming to us saying, I've got all these bangles and I don't know what to do with them. I don't know how to store them. And so, again, that was customer feedback that came to
us.
That's right. So this time of year is all about gifting. And then as we go into next year, we really want to get stuck into some more charity stuff. And we've had some really strong campaigns this year, raising money for some causes that were really important to Chantel. And there's some other things that we want to do along that space, including a gift a bang program where when you buy a bangle, you can buy another bangle and gift it to a woman who's escaping domestic violence, or someone who's got having cancer treatment, or, you know, something in their life where a bangle with a message might mean a lot to them, and that our regular customers have the opportunity then to buy those bangles and donate them to those causes, and we'll make sure the bangles get to the people who need them. So that's something we want to focus on next year.
Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. Where can people find you?
They can find us on beebangles.com, and we're on Instagram and we're on Facebook. So as long as you don't mind a little bit of swearing, just a heads up. but it's always fun. It's in good spirits, and they're the kind of post that you can share with your friends on a Monday morning to give everyone a lift. So, jump on socials and find us there.
That's a wrap. Thank you so much for listening. Since I am just getting started with this podcast, it would mean the world to me if you could show your support by hitting the subscribe button. This will ensure that you will be the first to know when each episode drops, and I would love to hear your feedback in the review section. You can also help by spreading the word far and wide on Instagram. Simply take a screenshot of this episode and tag me in your stories using the tag @thestartupsisterhood with your key takeaways. I would love to share them on my account. Let's master your marketing, ditch the social media grind, grow your online store with confidence and a plan, and let's build a life-first business together. Thanks again, and I'll see you in the next episode.